No matter what your financial situation is, how can you create a life of abundance by changing your relationship with money? This is the question that's explored in Ken Honda's book, Happy Money: The Japanese Art of Making Peace with Your Money. He joins us now from Tokyo, Japan, to talk more about the book and how you can choose happy money. Hello there, and thank you for getting up at 4 a.m. to talk to us. We appreciate
it. Hello, Bruce. Hey, hi, this is Ken Honda. I just woke up early, and I'm so excited. This is a beautiful way of starting my day in Tokyo.
Fantastic. Now, you begin the book with this amazing story about someone looking through your wallet, and they were looking to see if your money was smiling. What does that even mean? How could she tell? And what was the answer?
I was at the party in Tokyo and she approached me. At the time, you know, magazine article, they were focusing on how, what kinds of wallets celebrities do have, you know, and wouldn't that be interesting to see what Justin Bieber and all those celebrities, you know, do they even have a wallet? So, okay. And I told her, as long as you give it back to me, you can take a look at my wallet. And she pulled out all the bills and she was checking something. And she was saying, this is okay. This is great. This is wonderful. And she put back all the bills and gave it back to me. And I asked her, what are you doing? And she said, I was checking if I could see you're okay. And Ken, you're good to go. And I asked her, what am I good to go? It sounds good, but what is it? She said, you must have made a lot of people smile and happy. That's why all the bills in your wallet are smiling. And I still didn't get it. And she said, I'm psychic and I see things that other people don't see. And she says, if you're making people happy and receive money, your money is smiling in your wallet. And if you're taking advantage of other people, or do the work that you don't like and get money, your money is crying or getting upset in your wallet. And I thought it's interesting. And I started to wonder what kinds of money is in my friend's wallet. And I had so much fun thinking even thinking about it. That's the story goes.
Wow. I can imagine some of our listeners are like, that is a little too woo-woo for
yes,
me.
Yes.
But it's it's an amazing part of your journey and your book is fascinating. You use a phrase called happy money. How do you define that phrase and what are some examples of it?
Happy money makes you smile when you receive it. When you make money, you just receive money from your clients and companies. And if you can smile with the money, that's happy money. And also on the other end, when you spend money and if you just feel joy and makes you happy, that's also happy money. So when you write checks and pay bills and still keep smiling, that's happy money.
Now, I can imagine that the biggest yeah, but our listeners will have is, yeah, but I don't have any money, so I can't be happy about it. To what do you say to them?
Right. So happy money doesn't really matter if you have so much or so little, because it's your relationship with money. I've met and I have interviewed many millionaires and billionaires in my career as an author. I have found many unhappy ones. And at the same time, among those who are struggling financially, I found some who are doing well emotionally because they receive money with happiness and also spend money with happiness.
You write about money IQ and money EQ. IQ is the more tangible stuff, like earning money, protecting money, all that. That kind of makes more sense or is easier to understand. What is money EQ?
Money EQ is your emotional health. I've seen stories, and I'm sure you have too, many very intelligent people, you know, who are running hedge funds and all those people, make stupid mistakes emotionally and they could lose them all. And why does that happen? It's because those people had high money IQ, but very low money EQ. So unless you have a good relationship with money, your life could be miserable. So it doesn't really matter how much money you make because your spending habits would also increase all the amount, dollar amount you spend. So unless you have control over money emotionally, your life will stay miserable.
And how do you do that? What are some ways in which one can increase one's money EQ?
That's a very good question. I had once, I had a mentor whose name is Wahei Takeda, and he passed away, unfortunately, a few years ago. He's a dear mentor of mine, and he's called Warren Buffett of Japan. He was one of the wealthiest men in Japan. And when I became a student of his teaching was very simple and zen. He said, the secret of happy money is arigato in, arigato out. That means when money comes in, you say thank you to the money. And when money goes out of your life, also thank money again. So arigato in, arigato out. Thank you money in, thank you money out. So that is a very, very basic mantra that I can give.
You have a number of what I would call contrarian statements in your book, and I love them because they're quite thought-provoking. One of them is, don't save money out of anxiety. What do you mean? I mean, a part of me is like, Ken, don't say that. I don't care why people save. If they're saving out of anxiety, that's fine. At least they're saving.
Right, right. Because, you know, what you focus on grows. So once you start saving out of scarcity mindset, you just feel scared. So say you have saved $5,000 and you feel more scared because maybe I need more. So you reach $10,000, $100,000 and $1 million. Still you feel scared because you focus on anxiety. And on the other hand, if you start saving money with joy that one day this money will make my kids happy, my parents happy, my friends, my family happy, and then the money grows out of joy. But if you just do that out of scared feeling, it just increases your anxiety. So I don't mind, I'm not against saving. Actually, I encourage people to save more, but you have to do that. You'd better do that out of joy, not scarcity.
Second statement, likable people attract money. Are you saying this is just a popularity contest?
Yes, in a sense, because just think about two florists, one who does it because it's her work. The other, who does it with so many beautiful smiles and happy feelings, and he or she does it for fun. You can see it, you can feel it. Which florist do you want to go to? So the happy ones and popular ones always win. So we tend to be attracted by those who are enjoying what they do. And it seems like you're having so much fun, right? And the people who do work out of joy, they get the popular vote. That's what I think.
Yeah, well, I do enjoy what I do. So you're right on that. You also talk about achieving a state of MARO. I'm not sure I'm pronouncing that correct. MARO. What is that?
So that's what my mentor, Wahei Takeda, used to teach us. MARO is an abbreviation of the word magokoro. That means sincerity. If your heart is full of kindness, gentleness, which we seem to lack in this world, people will be attracted to you. And the more good you do in the world, the people see it and people react to it. So, we're changing. We are going to a different times where kindness and gentleness count. And it didn't used to count, last year or a few years ago. But now, after COVID, I think people are beginning to realize that we need to be connected. We need to be paying more attention to us.
I am a deep believer in the broad themes that we have talked about thus far. And there is a level at which people need to engage in the super boring, tactical, to make sure their bills are paid on time, which is something that is increasingly difficult for millions of people all over the world, given what's going on all over the world. What perspective can you bring to the boring minutiae that people need to do? I mean, it sounds, on the one hand, all this sounds highfalutin and airy-fairy and ephemeral when it comes to, you know, you got to pay your credit card bill.
Yes. So right now, we are going into a little bit of a scary time because all of us are having some kind of troubles. And I think it's just guiding us toward codependency in a good term, in a good way. We have to ask for help for one another. And I'm encouraging people, those who have more than enough, you can share what you have with the financially challenged people. And it's not government work. It's us. So if you have more than enough, and if you are willing to share what you have, you feel more satisfaction out of sharing what you have. And for those who are struggling, you have to be willing to ask for help. And this is a time that we have to help one another more than ever. So it's not, I'm not saying anything politically, because, you know, what government should or shouldn't. I think it's more up to us, as individuals. If you have enough, more than enough, you can start helping your brothers, neighbors, your friends. That way, I think we can get through this. And this seems to be the only way, because the government can't keep issuing all the bills. That is not sustainable.
The other dynamic in our culture that people are dealing with, and this was before the pandemic and it will continue long after the pandemic, is just how sophisticated corporations are at separating us from our money. We can order something, it will be at our doorstep within 12 hours. They follow what we watch or what we want. And the level of sophistication pushing us to spend outside our means is growing every single day. What advice do you have to an individual to deal with all the marketing and the availability of credit and all the stimulus that has us behave in ways that are counter to what's best for us over time?
So if you're struggling financially and if you have a need to make both ends meet, you have to ask yourself, am I not overspending? And we are. For those of you who have a hard time making both ends meet, I'm challenging you. Next time when you're going to spend money, ask yourself, is this really, really, really necessary for my survival? And most shoppings, you know, it's not essential. You know, we don't need another sweater. We don't need another gadgets. We don't need any another thing, you know, for our basic survival. So you have to really know the difference. If it's a luxury thing or if this is essential for my survival. And we are so brainwashed to have that we need more and more. I think it's very common in Western society. You know, I think half of Japan is that way, but half of Japan is minimalist, you know, Zen type of mentality, that we live with the minimum resources. And we don't have to do that, but we need to do that when we need to make both ends meet.
Fascinating stuff. Ken, thank you so much for joining us and for providing your insight. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, Bruce. You've asked the best questions ever, and
Excellent.
I really enjoyed being interviewed.
Excellent. And I wasn't trying to be likable, but I hope that I am. I hope that I am.
Yes, I bet you're so popular in North America. So I'm so honored. I feel so honored, and thank you. This is a great way of starting my day.
Thank you so much. Ken Honda's book is called Happy Money, The Japanese Art of Making Peace with Your Money. He joined us very, very early from Tokyo, Japan.